All right. Wish to extend greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask you to help us to be faithful to you and bring glory and honor to you in all that we do and say. Be with those who are not able to be with us this morning. Those in other places around the world, Lord, would just help, pray that you'd help them, Father, to be faithful. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, understanding as we open your word, courage to apply it to our lives. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. I'm going to stop right there. What I want to talk about this morning is just brotherhood. We can take these verses here and say them and not have any idea of what we're saying. There's a lot of one of the biggest concerns I have about this, I think, is when it says about preserve the unity of the Spirit. That verse is a beautiful thing if we apply it properly. The unity of the Spirit. There's a lot of people today that hear that and they say the spirit of unity. I mean, that's all around us. People are striving for this spirit of unity. But that's not what it says. It says the unity of the Spirit. People start out with good intentions, wanting to have the spirit of unity. Most of the world, most of the things we hear about, the problems we have today, the root of that problem is the spirit of unity. Whenever we look at church history, we see the glorious things that the church has accomplished. And we see churches that have seemingly maintained some of what they had. They've lasted hundreds of years. But somewhere along the line, it's changed from the unity of the Spirit into the spirit of unity. The rules that people have in churches, the heart of the need for that is trying to maintain the spirit of unity instead of having the unity of the Spirit. Everybody, can't we all just get along idea? The political correctness today all of that stems from someone's concern for having the spirit of unity. They want everything just to flow nicely. And so they try to put it all in one little box to where if you say this or you say that, you're outside of that. You've offended someone. You've hurt someone. And so that affects the spirit of unity. But if we have the unity of the Spirit, then those things don't hurt us because our goal is much different. Our goal is much higher than just being together. It's unified around and in something much higher than that. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Whenever our goal and our purpose is single towards the same thing, we can all have different gifts. We can all have different places. We can all have different ideas. But we're all together because our goal and our heart is the same. That's why he talks later in having different gifts. In other places in the Bible, each one has what has been given to them. And it's different. We are all different. There's no two of us that are exactly alike. And the only way that we can make all of this work is that we have the same goal. That we have the same Lord. Jesus came into this world to give us freedom. To free us from the bonds of Satan. To free us from the powers that are seeking to bring us captive. Jesus made a free moral agent whenever he created us in the Garden of Eden. Whenever we were created, to be free people. And we came into bondage. Now that we've been reunited or set free again, the opportunity, the goal, is to maintain that freedom. The Bible tells us, let no one bring you into bondage. Because that seems to be the goal of the world, is just to loop us back in to bondage. That's why churches, after a while, when the focus is off of the spirit of unity, or the unity of the Spirit, and it begins to shift to the spirit of unity, all that's doing is bringing us back into the bondage that the world has. Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, implores you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And that calling is to be free. That calling is to have your heart where you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. There's no bondage in that. That's freedom. We live in a time, and they change. Times are changing. You know, just last week they celebrated, or yesterday, a few days ago, they celebrated the remembrance of the 9-1-1. And one of the things, it was 19 years ago. Probably half of the people in this congregation weren't even born yet, or barely would even remember that. But to someone who's been through it, I mean, it was a terrible thing. It was a shocking thing. It was life-altering the way people thought at that time. And yet, a few years later, there's a whole generation that grows up and knew nothing about it. They might hear about it once in a while, but it really doesn't mean anything to them. And that's the way things go in a changing world. That's why things have to be renewed continually. That's why that we have this transition, this shift from the unity of the Spirit to the shift of the Spirit of unity. Because the next generation, the people that didn't understand all those things, didn't know what happened, that prices that were paid to pave the way for the next generation's prosperity or the next generation's ability or freedoms, they just get forgotten because it didn't really mean anything to them. Where people have suffered and hurt and paid prices to give us what we have. There's been cost paid. The people that went through those costs and paid those prices to get to where we are today, the next generation comes along, they didn't see it. They might hear about it once in a while, but they didn't experience it. That's why it's so important. The Bible talks about to respect the elders and respect those above you. Because they had paid a price to get you where you are. And even though you don't know or don't remember, you weren't around, they still went through it. It still happened. The unity of the Spirit. Brotherhood. You know, so many of these things we don't understand. The places in the Bible where it talks about, where Jesus talked about, if your brother offends you, go to him. Well, whenever you have the Spirit of unity, that means that you just go around looking everywhere for something that you can pick apart in your brother. So we can keep that unity together. So if you have a different idea or someone begins to have a different way of doing things, you go right to them out of concern and you go try to fix it. And you try to keep this spirit of unity together so you can hold it all together. And pretty soon you begin to have different ideas, different rules to maintain all of this. But we have the heart of the spirit of unity. That means I'm just watching my brother and I'm ready to pounce on him if he gets out of line. And I'm doing my duty. Oh, I love my brother because I can jump right down his throat as soon as he does something that I don't appreciate. Look at what the world's doing today. They think it's love because they can find a wrong that's been done or someone been slighted and they can go protest and burn down the whole city. And they think they're full of compassion because they have a good cause. And that good cause is the spirit of unity. Churches do the same thing and brethren do the same thing, thinking that they're fulfilling commandments and obeying the Lord by doing the same thing, having the same spirit that the world has towards these things. It just gets twisted. Many times we think that our concerns have a valid point. We dwell on them. And they grow and we've just got to fix them. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. See, that's why the Bible talks about wisdom and not intentions. We can follow our intentions and it'll twist things into a way where I'm seeking the spirit of unity instead of the unity of the Spirit. Brethren think that they've got to, we hear the verse about, am I my brother's keeper? Well, whenever God asks that about him, or ask Abel or Cain where his brother was. He said, am I my brother's keeper? It wasn't that he, you know, we take that verse and we think, well, I've just got to watch out every step of my brother and make sure he doesn't go astray. That's not our duty. That's not our responsibility. His brother was dead. And he wasn't even worried about it. What happens? We begin to focus on these things, these little things that upset us, these little things that disturb us. And then when something major happens, we blink right over it and barely even blink when it happens. That's the way it works. We strain at the gnats, the flies. Oh my, that little fly in there. That little speck in someone else's eye. And then swallow camels. That's exactly the way we do. We do that to the point. We strain at all these gnats to where as soon as you have a concern again, nobody even cares anymore. Nobody even listens. Heard of the boy that cries wolf. He decided he'd play a trick on the village. He was supposed to be the watcher. And there was a wolf that was coming and sneaking into town and doing all kinds of damage. So he was sent out to be the guard of the city for the night. And, oh, it's boring out there. It's quiet and nothing. He says, I've got an idea. I'll tell everybody the wolf's coming. So he went running and yelling through town, the wolf's coming, the wolf's coming. And all the townspeople gathered up and went running out with their forks and shotguns and whatever to go look for the wolf. And they looked and looked, and there was no wolf. And the boy was just giggling. He pulled one over on him, and they laughed. He laughed. Well, next night he was out there and got late in the night. He got bored again. He said, I'm going to try it again. So he went running through town. The wolf's coming. The wolf's coming. And they all got up, got out, went running out. There was no wolf. He did it again. Well, the third night, he got out there and it was all quiet again. Then he heard the wolf coming. He saw him. So he went running into the town, trying to wake everybody up. And they said, oh, he's just at it again. And the wolf got in the town and just wreaked havoc. That's the way it is with us. We allow these little things to bother us to the point where we get to where no one will even listen to us anymore. And that's what happens whenever our goals are off of the spirit of unity. Or off of the unity of the spirit, sorry. And they get focused on the spirit of unity. And it's just a subtle change. It all happens with the best of motives, the best of intentions. But there's no wisdom in it. Again, that's why the Bible tells us to have wisdom, not concern. It tells us to have wisdom. Not be guided by the first bad thought we have. Unity comes from freedom. Freedom comes at a great price. Because for us to have freedom, we have to allow other people to have the same freedom. The freedom to make their own choices, the freedom to make their own mistakes, the freedom to have their own problems, the freedom to work out their own problems. With the support of other people who are doing the same thing. You know, sometimes we get the idea that if we're going to have a brotherhood, I've got to talk to every brother and just ask them what their opinion is on something. All that will do is confuse you. If you've got a legitimate problem, find a brother who you can trust and go take their advice. Problem is we began asking advice from people, and if we really stopped to think about it, I wouldn't follow their advice if I had to. That just winds up taking a lot of hot air, a lot of air blowing, a lot of talk. If we got problems, if we have a problem, find a brother or two that you can confide in, that you know, that can help you with your problem, and work it out from there. If you just don't know what you ought to do, just do the next step in front of you. You know, it's so easy for us to be looking so far ahead, wondering what we're going to do in the future, that we miss a step or two along the way. We talked about people who study the book of Revelation, trying to figure out the future. And if you'll prepare today for today, tomorrow, you'll be able to take the step that you need to take tomorrow. The future is none of your business. The future is one of those things that are none of your business. That's the Lord's business, the future. You know, we talk about people, this whole idea here of being so concerned about everyone else. Freedom means that everybody else's business is none of your business. Freedom means that you are free to take care of your own business, and your neighbor is free to take care of his business. We have people that are looking out for things like that. You know, one of the titles of a bishop is a busybody, because he's supposed to know. That's what the bishop means. That's what the word is. Same word as it talks about in Timothy, where it tells others not to be busybodies. And it's one of the hardest things for me to meddle in somebody else's business, because I want you to be free. Some people criticize me because I don't step in quick enough on things, because I hate the idea of meddling in somebody else's business. I don't want no part of it. I have my hands full taking care of myself. So that same word that people are charged to oversee the church, to be a busybody, and then others are charged, don't be a busybody. And sometimes we get those things all mixed up, because I hate it. I don't like meddling in people's lives. It's very difficult for me to do that. But that's the way it ought to be, I think. It ought to be a difficult thing to meddle in somebody else's life. It ought to be hard, because it's a serious thing. The spirit of unity, if we keep our focus on everybody else, that's how we do it. But the unity of the Spirit is when we just take care of our business. You know, if everyone just takes care of their business. I don't know how many times we've talked about it, but if your body just, every member of your body just took care of its own thing right there, how well it works together. You got a brain, and that brain is what controls all the different aspects of it. But when every individual thing just does what it's supposed to do, they work pretty neat. But if the thumb or the finger or the hand or the foot or the toe gets to thinking, I need to run the other hand, or I need to run, that's when you get people that can't walk, people that can't control themselves, clumsy, all kinds of things that we look at as sickness, deformities, all kinds of little things like that. But when everything takes care of itself, wow, it just works well. When all the children of a family just do their job, when everybody on the job just does their job. That's one of the neat things. I hear a comment almost every day whenever we go work for somebody new. The first, one of the main things I hear is, everybody knows their job. That's working well. When everybody knows their job. That's what stands out to people. That everybody does their thing. And that's when things work well in a church. If people from the outside would just come by and say, wow, everybody's doing their job, that'd be about a high of accolade that we could get. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we do the next step in front of us, that has a way of eliminating the worry of the next step. I don't know how many times I've told this to people, but if they will just follow this simple advice, the pressure in their life, it just goes away. Just do what's in front of you. But we allow the second step, third step, the fourth step, to weigh on us. And it just builds and builds. And so we do a half-shod job on the step we're supposed to do. Probably completely miss the next step. And then we're all messed up. Then we have guilt to deal with because we didn't get done what we were supposed to do. And that all weighs on us. And it just makes it harder and harder to see the future. And it looks gloomier and worse and worse. And all we have to do is go back and just do what we were supposed to be doing in the first place. Then we can be prepared. The future is none of your business. Just like what your neighbor's doing is none of your business. And if you can get those two things straight and take care of your own business, it'll be amazing how much more peace and how much rest is obtainable for you in this life. Because these other two things, worrying about the future and worrying about your neighbor, you're going to be worried all the time. You're going to be upset all the time. You're going to be stressed out and anxious all the time. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You get the foundation laid for being unified with God's Spirit. Get your life simplified to where you just do what's right in front of you. That peace will be there. That rest will be there. And you can let God worry about your neighbor. Bible, Jesus said, if your neighbor offends you, if you have been slapped upside the head and something done wrong, go fix it. If you don't like the way he did something, it's none of your business. Quit worrying about it. If there's an actual offense, I mean, you saw him break your cookie jar and take your quarters and run out the window, there's an offense there. Something actually happened. Maybe if you go talk to him, you find out, I just had to have some money right quick, and I was going to pay you back, and then we can just forgive about it. We can forgive it, okay? But if you just begin to allow your mind to have suspicions, I don't know about that. I don't know. It's a whole different ballgame. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, he said the wrong word. Oh, no. He kind of didn't have a good attitude this morning. And I let that dwell on me. And it builds and builds and builds and builds till I've just got to share my concern with that brother. That's not what that means at all. If they haven't actually committed a crime against you, leave it alone. If there's a problem, there's people that are out looking, that are in a place to oversee things, that will get to it in due time. Two points. The neighbor's business is none of your business, and the future is none of your business. Live that way, and you'll begin to understand peace and rest. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Seems amazing how we can build a case that's not really based on reality.
Right.
Sometimes. And we can really convince ourselves about something.
Mm-hmm. Amen.